Oh my God, it sat in there. Oh my God.
Right to the nuts.
It wasn't like, it wasn't like a, oh my God.
That's why when he went down, he went down like he got shot. We were like, oh God, did it hit his hand or something like that?
You could see that it went between his leg and the cup and just like found that opening.
It found the dick.
Oh my God. And it kind of like, it stayed in there for a second.
Yeah, it got.
Oh, I can't believe that. Mm. D-Rob's reaction is ridiculous, so priceless.
We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your hosts, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Bronx Pinstripe Show, episode 181. You can tell by my voice, it's still gone. 24 hours, Scott, after the wild card game, and I'm really feeling it.
I'm slowly getting better, I think. I can't tell, but I've gone to tea and honey just to see if I can help the throat out a little bit because it was pretty brutal earlier. But yeah, I think I'm recovering. I am exhausted, I can tell you that much. I'm going to sleep like a freaking log tonight. But yeah, I'm still riding the high, I think. I just keep playing back things and scenarios in my head of that game from last night because, you know, just the more I think about how much fun it was such a great time. And I'm just trying to replay, like, you know, the crowd and like what things were happening, because I feel like I blacked out occasionally, especially immediately when you're talking about it, like right afterwards, I think you forget things. So it was just such an awesome freaking atmosphere, and what a great game.
I think I replayed the Periscope of us during Didi's home run about 5 times today. Just the way the stadium erupted, everybody was on their feet. That was, I've said it last night on the podcast, I'm going to say it again after having watched all the replays and listened to all the people talk about it. Girardi even said, it's the loudest the stadium has been in a long, long time.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. That's not even in question. You know, one thing I also liked, that I don't remember if they did this in 2015, but I don't know if you remember, but did they do the standing room only tickets at that point?
I'm sure they did. I'm sure they did.
Well, I feel like they have more of that because of the sections that have opened up in center field as well. There's more of a capacity. I mean, I know that number has gone up. So really,
but what's that? 2,000-3,000 people? That doesn't make that much of a difference when it's already 48,000.
I'm not saying that's like the difference at all. What I'm saying is it fills in the gaps and it makes it feel just that much more full because there's really like no room. There's no, and they block, you know, when people are standing back there too, that does, it blocks the, you know, the air, the ways going back into those tunnels, and it almost closes it off a little bit more. I think it does make a little bit of a difference when you have people lining those areas. It's just, you know, that many more people that are screaming and yelling. And the other difference is that everybody was in their seats. That, you know, there weren't, it didn't seem like there were a lot of people staying and hanging out in like the suites and all that shit. Everybody was out in their seats watching the game, and that made a big difference.
Totally. The stadium was filled from pitch one, and I was getting worried for a while. I was like, the crowd is going to get out of it if the Yankees don't do something quickly. And they did something immediately that allowed the crowd to stay in it from the first pitch. Chad Green kept the momentum going, and it just took it from there. We're going to do slightly just looking back to the wild card game, giving our final thoughts, because as I said, we were at the game. It's hard to know what's going on because there's a lot of things we missed and that I just caught today on replays. And then we're going to get into the entire ALDS Cleveland preview. But before that, just a reminder on our episode schedule during the playoffs. One, every game, there's going to be a podcast. Like last night, it might be a shit show. We might have to do it late at night when we can't even remember what was going on because we're just so happy from... And people were saying that I sounded drunk. Maybe I was a little buzzed, but I think I was just happy. I think I was just overly
joyful. Yeah, we weren't really drunk at that point. We had been drinking all day, so who knows? I mean, there's, you know, you get hit that plateau. But I don't think we really were that bad, honestly. It was like, what, an hour after the game stopped? So we hadn't had a beer in like 2 hours.
Right. And it was a combination of being exhausted and also being extremely happy and having no voice. And then, so like I said, every time there's a game, there'll be an episode up at some point the following day. Also, guys, we've been saying to rate and review the podcast. You guys are coming through. We're almost at our goal for 500.
Big time.
but it's at 486. We're going to up that goal to 600 during the playoffs because we're almost at 500, and when the Yankees advance past the wild card, so we have at least three more games, hopefully a lot more. So let's get those, keep doing those reviews. It's awesome to see you guys are getting behind us there, and we love to see that. So before we do all of the preview of the Indian series, a couple more final thoughts from the wild card game. Like we said, the atmosphere, but the player's emotion. Judge, when he hit his home run, rounding the bases, showed more emotion than he did on all 52 homers combined during the season.
You could tell that it was a totally different feeling for these guys. You could tell that they knew the difference between a regular season game and a playoff game. One, the crowd just tells you that, hey, we're into this one. Like, wholeheartedly, we're into this. And you could tell that they felt that. They felt the energy of the crowd. And I think that trickled down. Because if anybody in the world ever has ever said that a crowd doesn't directly affect and impact the way that guys play on the field, they're ridiculously wrong, because it's an energy and you can feed off that energy. And those guys, while they're having fun in that dugout, feed off that energy, that positive noise coming from the crowd. And you can absolutely tell that the emotions in a very, very, very positive way got a hold of some of these guys. And Aaron Judge was the first one when he hit that home run. I mean, you're right. He would put his head down and run the bases every single time if he had a home run that he knew was gone. This one, well, he didn't know it was gone because we weren't sure if it was going to clear the wall or not. As soon as he saw that, boom, just elated, and he really showed it all over his face. And I loved seeing that. I mean, I loved everything about that. It's awesome.
As long as the Yankees are playing at Yankee Stadium in the playoffs, the crowd is going to be behind it because we have so much confidence in this offense to put up runs. Yeah, they're probably going to face some tough pitchers that might shut them down, but they still have the potential to put up big numbers in any inning because up and down the lineup, they have guys who can hit the ball out. And thinking back to 2015, that offense was dormant. They were dying at that point. You just knew it wasn't going to happen. You were hoping maybe Beltran or A-Rod ran into a ball. Now, up and down the lineup. Didi saved the day last night, but it could be somebody else tomorrow.
Well, you know, and it started early in the season when we saw that 9-1 comeback. When this team was going, we realized that there's at no point are the Yankees out of a game because of that potent offense. And it was clearly evident, you know, starting early in the season with that Orioles game, and, you know, they did it against the Cubs as well. So they've done it in big games and situations that are, you know, where their back is up against the wall. And obviously they did it last night. And it was just tremendous to see that they took care of that business and got back in that game so immediate. They're like, okay, now we need to score runs right now. Let's do it. And then they score runs. And, you know, the clutchest of all clutch, Mr. Didi Gregorius on this team goes out there and just hits a laser beam. So, you know, they responded. That is the biggest thing. And I think that, look, I said it last night. I'm going to say it again. This team is freaking scary. Every single team that goes against them does not want to play the New York Yankees right now because they know damn well that this team is young, talented as anybody, and they got nothing to lose. So that's not that guy is dangerous.
They also match up well with the Indians, or closely with the Indians. A lot of their teams, a lot of their strengths are similar on both sides, so that's going to be very interesting. But another thing that we missed, not missed, but kind of glossed over, is the D-Rob and Gary Sanchez nut situation.
Oh my God.
We saw Gary go down like a ton of bricks, and we were just hoping that he didn't catch a foul tip to the neck or a foul tip to the elbow or the wrist, and it's a serious injury. We couldn't tell where the ball hit him. And then we saw, I guess the people behind home plate probably saw it or something, but just it didn't reach us out in section 206. Seeing the different GIFs and the different videos on Twitter today, that ball caught all of the meat, all of the Gary Sanchez meat on that foul tip. And D-Rob, his reaction was amazing.
Immediate. I have never seen anything like that. I have been watching baseball my entire life. I played baseball for a while. I've never seen a ball hit the way it hit in the dude's nuts. It was unbelievable. It caught between the leg and the cup. I thought maybe that, you know, like sometimes things shift around and the cup will be in a bad place and it'll hit the cup and then the edge of the cup can do damage. That's what I thought was going on. No, that's not what happened. That ball somehow got into a pocket and hit him right in the right in the dick. It was ridiculous. And D-Rob's reaction was so immediate because the ball looked like it sat there for 5 seconds. Yep. I mean, it looked like I got caught.
It liked what it grabbed.
It was ridiculous.
There's a Rawlings imprint on Mr. Gary Sanchez.
Yes. It's a miracle that he got up.
He got up. He got up quick. He shook it off. I got to give him credit for that because... Yeah, we all know what that feels like. It feels like your guts are being
I have
ripped
no
out.
Idea what that feels like. I have never gotten hit in the nuts that hard.
Well, not that hard, but I did. I was a catcher throughout Little League, all through high school. So I've been hit in the groin many, many times. Obviously not on a major league field off a major league foul tip, but it doesn't matter.
Cup. It hits the cup. Like, I understand
That still hurts.
You can get damage from it. I know. I've been hit there as well. But at the same time, it missed the cup. The cup moved out and the ball went in. It was terrible. He needs to wear something a little bit more tighter that's holding things in place.
He can. He's, Gary. I mean, he lets it all hang loose. He likes to live dangerously.
Maybe that's why he doesn't get down and block.
Yeah.
Maybe you should constrict the stuff so there's a little bit more aerodynamics going on.
I think we just figured out why Gary Sanchez is having blocking issues.
Maybe he wasn't even wearing a cup, and that's we were just seeing not the cup.
Girardi's like, hey, have you ever heard of this thing? It's called a cup. It might help you behind the plate.
It was bad. I had to. I couldn't. It was like the Theismann injury. I couldn't take my eye off it. At the same time, I couldn't look at it.
The Yankees, though, continued their ownership over the Minnesota Twins. 10th straight playoff victory against the Twins. 13-2 all time in the playoffs. And the Yankees also, when Gardner goes deep, are 17-2 this year. So a lot of things went right for the Yankees on Tuesday night. The bullpen, we know. 8 1/3 innings of one earned run ball, 5 hits allowed. Chad Green threw 41 pitches. D-Rob threw 52 pitches. Canely, 29 pitches. And Chapman, 20 pitches. So we're kind of just figuring out how the bullpen is going to be lined up for game one. Obviously, they had the off day on Wednesday. But I can't imagine that Girardi uses D-Rob in game one. I feel like he's the only one unavailable for game one.
He's the only one because actually Green has gone 2 innings day off and then has come back. I mean, he hasn't pitched on consecutive days, I think, all season, right? He didn't throw him in consecutive days. But I do believe he could go for, an inning probably. Canely, I don't know how many times he's gone 2 innings. That could be a situation.
Only 29 pitches, though.
Yeah, that's true. That's pretty damn efficient. I mean, honestly, D-Rob, 52 pitches and 3 1/3, that's pretty damn efficient, too.
Especially with all the mess he came in with.
Yeah, absolutely. No, so... Look, I think a lot of the things that we're thinking of conventionally, though, as well, are going to be relatively out the window. And it's also dependent on how much Girardi really looks at this first game and says, okay, we need to take this first game. And, maybe he will stretch a guy that wouldn't normally be stretched. I think that he's going to be a little bit more liberal with the use of this bullpen, especially when he sees how dominant they are, and how effective these guys are. So the good thing is that there are still 3 guys... Betances, Warren, and Schriever, guys that did not pitch. Obviously, he was staying away from Betances for a reason. You didn't trust him.
So
didn't
want to
bring
it's
him
so
in
telling.
A 4-run game.
If he didn't use him in the wild card game when you needed an entire game out of your bullpen, when are you going to use him?
Yeah, he didn't want walks. You could tell that he needed people who were throwing strikes. That was the biggest thing. And these guys were throwing strikes. So why bring in Betances at that point? Even if they're making contact, they're throwing strikes. Betances could give up 2 walks in the blink of an eye and then... throw a get-me-over curveball that stays up in the zone, and it's a 3-run shot. It happens so fast against him.
You ready for this? We got a little breaking news. Just came through on my phone.
Okay.
Yankees announced Sonny Gray to start game one, CC Sabathia game two.
Ooh, okay. I don't hate that.
Wild card. The actual wild card, but Girardi's throwing us a curveball there with CC in game two. And you and I briefly were discussing how... beforehand in just the show notes that
trust factor
that maybe Sabathia would pitch at home because he would feed off that crowd. But with what, I don't know what the decision behind Girardi going with Sabathia game two, it's a place obviously he's pitched a million times against Cleveland. He used to pitch for Cleveland. The big game experience, we thought maybe he'd go with Severino because Severino barely threw any pitches, try and get him back out there quickly on the road so you kind of clear his head that way. Not going to go that way, though. So I would imagine, if I were guessing now, it would go after Sonny and CeCe, it would go Tanaka game 3 and then Severino game 4? Or would you flip those two?
No, I think Tanaka's going to go. Yeah, I think Tanaka will go game three. I think it also depends on what happens in the first two games. The interesting thing is that CeCe, we talked about this beforehand when we were doing the preview of the wild or of everything, just kind of like the confidence level on if they were to win the wild card, how he would set it up. And I mean, you and I both agreed that it wouldn't surprise us if CeCe was one of the first pitchers rolled out there because of the confidence level that Girardi has in him. And CeCe had a hell of a year. He really did. The fact that it would be lining up for game two against Kluber. That's very interesting because if you can catch lightning in a bottle with CeCe against Kluber, which, you know, I wouldn't put it past CeCe, big game going against their ace. Like, you know, he's getting up for that game. Then you got your other guys, with not throwing Tanaka, not throwing Severino, where you probably have the edge at that point. It's an interesting move.
Or is Girardi saying that we're going to throw our fourth best pitcher against your best pitcher?
Well, that's the thing. That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. But he's got the confidence in CeCe. He is the fourth best pitcher. But when you're talking about confidence level, Joe has a lot in him. So you could catch lightning in a bottle with CeCe, and he's one of those guys that could absolutely come out and throw a gem. And if you do get that against Kluber, awesome.
So here's the thing, though, because the game two starter would line up for a game five start.
Yeah.
Because that's the whole reason
what Kluber's doing.
That's why Kluber's pitching game two is because he would be on normal rest for a game five start because there's an off day after game two and after game four. So Sabathia then would line up. I mean, Girardi could do something different because if they do go with four starters, then actually it would be Sonny Gray who would pitch in game five, not Sabathia. But a game five situation is all hands on deck anyway. Like, you could be in your bullpen in the first inning and you could be bullpenning. Brian Kenny style.
Yeah, you could Brian Kenny the living hell out of that game five. But yeah, I just think it speaks such immensely to the way that Girardi feels about Sabathia. And I guess how Sabathia feels. I mean, I don't know if you listened to, he and Ruco put out an episode of that R2C2 podcast on Monday. And CeCe was actually very, very open talking about like a lot of the things and how he felt and basically talking about that, you know, he's like super comfortable with the way he's pitching. He had one of his best years and his knee feels good right now. And as long as his knee feels good, you know, he thinks he can go out there and pitch effectively and very well. So, I don't hate that move. Honestly, I like having that veteran out there, especially in a road start.
He does have better numbers. Sabathia does on the road versus Yankee Stadium. We wouldn't have been upset if he was pitching. We assumed he was pitching at Yankee Stadium because we didn't think he would get a game one or a game two start. And we were saying that's okay because he would feed off the energy of the crowd and sort of get behind it that way. And you really only need five innings out of Sabathia. You don't need him to stretch out in the game. You just need five innings.
Well, we'll see because, it depends on what happens in game one because of what's going on with our bullpen right now. I mean, these guys have already been stretched.
Everything changes day to day in the playoffs.
Absolutely.
You only need five innings because you have the five or six guys in the bullpen to back them up.
I know we just talked about this before we got on the show and we were talking about CeCe at the stadium. We're like, okay, he can feed off the energy. But we also talked about the fact that we could absolutely see and honestly expect that Joe would go, potentially give Tanaka that home start because his splits are so much better at home. So it makes more sense that you're getting CeCe on the road and pushing Tanaka back a start. One, you're giving him an extra day, which we all know he loves. And CeCe going on the road, better numbers. Tanaka numbers are not as good on the road. Put him in a position where, you know, he feels comfortable and a position that he can succeed. So I really like this. I think this is a good move.
Well, I was thinking maybe Severino game two because you get him back. The sooner he can get back on the mound, I think the better for him in the situation. He's got to be absolutely devastated after what happened. He's not going to stop thinking about that until he gets another chance to pitch. So why not get him out there quicker so he has less time to think about it? You also put him on the road. So he got booed off Yankee Stadium.
That was a very casual boo, by the way. There was only a few people.
That was like
that.
We are very angry right now, boo. Like, did you really us? It wasn't so
I don't
much,
think they were booing him.
Well, they were, but
not like you completely shit the bed for years and years and years. I'm going to boo the living hell out of
you. They were booing the situation.
They were booing the situation, yeah.
But still, he was their best pitcher, and he came up flat. He fell completely on his face. The moment was too big for Severino. That's the only logical explanation. He was missing location. Maybe he was too amped up. His fastballs.
He was. I think he was too amped up.
His fastballs were up in the zone. The home run to Rosario was supposed to be a backdoor slider, and it leaked over. It was a hanging slider in the middle of the plate. It was supposed to be low and away.
Yeah, and again, if you're not really changing the speed too, that looks like a fastball almost. It's a lot of the straight movement. I mean, we could see that. I could see that from right field. Like, the pitches all, to me, when you're looking at them from there, they looked very similar. It didn't look like there was a lot of movement going on. But yeah, anyway, whatever. He's going to get past it. I honestly, I've come around on this. I'm like, I think this, in the long term, could be not such a bad thing for him. It's a good learning experience, whatever. You shit the bed, fine. Put it in the past. Move forward. Can't get worse. Just move on.
That's true. It can't get worse. Is ERA? Someone
yeah.
tweeted me.
Well, you
tonight.
Did say you're like last night. You're like, yeah, actually, it can get worse.
Zero.
He could get zero out. So I'm like, okay, you know, F you.
Someone tweeted me today. Like, they screenshotted like his 81 ERA or something like that. It looks so bad.
Yeah, but you know, look, he's a 23-year-old kid. Came out there. Obviously, he was nervous. Obviously, he was overthrowing. Okay, got that out of the way. Now you move on and you dominate, because that's what he is. This was not what he is. I am in no possible way saying that Severino is a guy that will just crumble. I think it was a case that happened. Had the yips. First outing in the playoffs, big stage. Now that's done. Now you move on.
Yes, but if he does not step up in his next start, then we have a problem.
Well, then we could talk about that then.
Yes. I think Francona's doing the Yankees a favor starting Trevor Bauer in game one, because in a five-game series, this is going to sound stupid because every game is important, but in a five-game series, all you have to do as the away team is just take one of those games. So if Corey Kluber goes, you're assuming, it's an uphill battle when you're facing Corey Kluber. He was the best pitcher in the American League this year. So
if not the majors,
right.
He was one of the two best pitchers.
So you are a heavy underdog when you're going up against Corey Kluber. If you lose game one against Corey Kluber, then as the Yankees, your backs are against the wall in game two because you got to steal a game. But if you can steal game one, then you put huge pressure on Corey Kluber and the Indians. And frankly, I don't think Trevor Bauer is that good. I know he's had a good second half of the season. I know he's dominated the Yankees this year. But this is a guy the Yankees can hit, should hit.
He's also a guy that now has postseason experience big time. I mean, they went and made a long run into the World Series. He's a different guy than he was in the beginning of last year. He's a more matured pitcher that has obviously found a much better way and a much better formula to get guys out. So I don't think we could look past what he's done, because he's had a very effective year when we're looking at him. What did he go? Like 17-9 this year. His ERA wasn't great, but against the Yankees it was. 1.38 ERA against the New York Yankees in two starts.
We also have to remember when those starts came. Those starts came when the Yankees were sucking. The offense wasn't fully healthy. They had six of their nine guys at any given point
in time,
July and August. So
if you're asking me which guy I want to see in game one, I want to see Trevor Bauer every single time.
Right.
There's no question about it. I agree with you that Terry Francona is getting a little cocky with this move, in my opinion. I think that the move to not start Kluber and get your team out in a short, this is a shorter series. I mean, it's not a seven-game series. It's a five-game series. Like you said, you split one, then you have home field. It turns that quickly. And we all know, we've talked about this, we've seen it, the home field advantage that the Yankees have when they're playing in the Bronx. I mean, it's a very clear home field advantage. They know how to play with that in that place. And if you are able to take one from Trevor Bauer, and I guarantee this lineup is looking at that and salivating the fact that, okay, I see this. I see what you're doing. You think you're going to steal this one and then take two because Kluber's there. This is a cocky move. Yep. I would take this as bulletin board material, say that there's disrespect. They think you're terrible on the road, and I'm going to throw Trevor Bauer because we're just going to win that game. And then Corey Kluber's going to come and get a pitch game two, and then we're going to be up 2-0, and you're going to be in a hole, and it's going to be that simple. Terry Francona is getting cocky, and I don't like it.
I totally,
and the more I'm talking about it, I don't like it more.
I totally agree with you. I think it's overmanaging as well. It's cockiness, it's getting too cute, and it's overmanaging. If I were a fan of the Cleveland Indians, I would be apeshit because I want my best pitcher pitching game one. You need to get off on a good foot. The Indians have also been off. I mean, say what you want about the wild card game. It screws the wild card teams because they're in a one-game playoff, but the Yankees are riding high momentum right now. They just put up 8 runs against the Twins. They're going to then go and face Trevor Bauer, who should not shut you down. Corey Kluber should shut you down. So he can turn your offense and turn it cold. Trevor Bauer should not do that. The Yankees are going to go right to Cleveland. They're going to bat first. It's going to be Trevor Bauer. Jump all over him earlier in this game. And I honestly think that Francona is making a mistake starting Trevor Bauer. And I love it. I love that this is happening. As soon as you said that last night, I got a little twinge in my eye. I was thinking in the back of my mind, okay, I can see how the dominoes are falling where the Yankees upset Cleveland in this series.
Oh, come on, relax. It's a strange move by Francona. And we all know he's a good manager, if not great manager. And we all know that he's a great postseason manager. I mean, his record in the postseason, I don't have it in front of me, but I know it's ridiculous. I remember hearing it last year. The guy is, he's built for this. He knows his guys. I mean, that's one thing that was always a plus for Terry Francona is that he knows his clubhouse very, very well. And he knows his guys and he puts them in situations to succeed. So if maybe he knows something we don't know, I don't know. But when you're looking at it face value, it looks like an opportunity for the Yankees. There's no doubt about it.
He's probably planning on, similar to what we said with Sabathia, just getting 4 to 5 innings out of Trevor Bauer and then going to the bullpen, which is absolutely loaded. The problem with the Indians pitching staff, if you're for the Yankees, is that their bullpen is equally as loaded as yours is. Andrew Miller, we all know what Andrew Miller is. Cody Allen, Brian Shaw, Dan Otero, and even Nick Goody. We were looking up Nick Goody's numbers. If you want to make yourself sick, go to Nick Goody's baseball reference page and look at his numbers this year. Their bullpen can match up with the Yankees bullpen. So he's probably what Francona is saying is Bauer, give me 4 to 5 innings and it's a bullpen game for us. And then Corey Kluber can do his thing in game two. It's a cocky move.
They're not going to need the bullpen with, right, Kluber is what he's thinking.
It's a cocky move. It's a very high risk move by Francona.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The other guy in the bullpen, too, is one we don't have on this list. He was the starter, Salazar. That's another kid that was, he came up with the Indians as a, like, super highly touted starting pitcher. And I think he was having control issues. Like, maybe you're looking at something similar to, like, what Severino did in the bullpen or the way Betances came up as a starting pitcher and just didn't find it but then found it in the bullpen. He's another guy that's got an electric arm that is an absolute weapon for him that can go more than one inning in the bullpen. So they're stacked. There's no doubt about it. They're stacked. And then they throw Carlos Carrasco, who's had a great season as well and is probably, one of the better pitchers in the American League as well. So up and down their starting rotation and their bullpen, their pitching staff is definitely a top tier.
Their pitching staff actually set a record for 33 pitcher awards, the most, I believe it's the most all time. They beat out one of those 90s Braves teams, which obviously we know what their pitching staff was.
Yeah, that's impressive because they were some all time pitching staffs with all those guys at the Braves. But look, the Yankees got to be patient still. I think their approach last night was good. I mean, you saw what Gardner did. That leadoff walk, I mean, like, boom, right immediately, now you're causing problems on the base path. And just things, good things happen. So I think when you're going up against these good pitchers, I think having that, having Brett Gardner or whoever's leading off, if it's not Gardner, making sure that he's working the count, getting on base, that's such a crucial at-bat.
So a couple of keys to Sonny Gray in game one. This is going to be the fourth start of his season versus the Indians. Two came with Oakland. One came with the Yankees. Remember, it was the first game as a Yankee, and the Yankees booted the ball around for him, and he gave up a ton of unearned runs in that game. He didn't pitch great, but he gave up a lot of unearned runs as well. His ERA on the season versus Cleveland is 4.86 in 16 and two-thirds innings pitched. We said this two episodes ago. The key to Sonny Gray right now is don't walk people.
I was holding my eyes open to watch that first Sonny Gray start because I was in the hospital without 48 hours of sleep because my son Kemp was about to be born. And I was like, just wait like 3 hours so I can watch Sonny Gray's first start. Wait like 3 hours. And he did. So, but Sonny Gray, again, no run support. That was the key thing for him. But you're right. Lately, he's been walking guys. Gotta be in the strike zone. And when you're looking at Sonny Gray, when he's around the strike zone, he's one of the most, one of the nastiest pitchers out there. I was listening to some guys talking about Sonny Gray today. Some of the guys on MLB Network or on one of the radio shows, and they were saying like he's one of the filthiest guys they had ever seen stepping in the box, just because of the arsenal that he has and the amount of, you know, different pitches that he could throw and throw them for strikes at any given time. So he's got to find that strike zone. That's such a crucial part for him.
When we talked to the Joe Stiglich from Oakland right after we traded for Sonny Gray, yeah, he talked about Sonny Gray and his big game mentality and that he is not fazed by situations like playoff games. He was a rookie and he got matched up against Verlander in his first playoffs with the Oakland A's. Pitched great against Verlander in two games. So I don't think he's going to be in any sort of small nut syndrome like we may have seen out of Severino in a wild card game.
Gary would have loved that small nut syndrome for that one pitch, just for that one half minute. Give me some small nuts. The pitching is going to be good. I have faith in Sonny Gray. I think he's going to come out in game one and he's going to give a very good start. I mean, I'm thinking at least six innings. That's what I'm looking at. I think they're also going to see this team picks each other up. They see what happens. This is a true team that goes out there and roots for each other and picks each other up. Sonny knows what happened with the bullpen. He knows what happened with Severino. He's going to go out there and be a leader amongst the rotation and throw one hell of a start and say, Sevy, look, this is all you got to do. Go out and throw like you know you can. And he's going to prove it, and I think it's going to be a quality start, and I'm pumped.
Did I hear that you're predicting six innings out of Sonny Gray? Didn't we predict seven innings out of Severino?
No, I don't remember what we said out of Severino. You probably said something. That's probably why what happened.
I'm pumped up for this. Like we said, it's going to be a hell of a series. These teams match up closely. There will be an episode after every game, so there'll be a new episode out Friday morning recapping game one. Coming up to finish this episode off, we've got voicemails from the wildcard game. I cannot wait to hear those because they are going to be absolutely on fire.
Yeah, Dom is putting those together right now. I haven't listened to them. I saw the amount of phone calls that came in, and it looked like there were a lot. So I hope I'm looking forward to listening to this as well. So this is I know everybody was pumped up, man. Like, how could you not be pumped up at like multiple times during that game for both two scenarios? I bet we get every emotion on there. Again, I haven't listened to them, but I guarantee there's people just destroying Severino, and then there's people probably just like, you know, gushing over Didi.
A lot of people on Twitter at about 8:19 p.m. last night pronounced the Yankees dead, and that didn't last very long.
No, come on, you guys got to know better than that. This team is not out in a given situation. They're not. It's just they don't go down that fast. It's not the old Yankees that won the championships, but the ones in between then and
not
now.
The literal old Yankees.
Not the literal old aging Yankees. No, this is the new, fresh, we never quit, maybe we'll win today, who knows, Yankees. That's it. They go out there and have fun.
So guys, enjoy the voicemail line coming up. If you want to leave a voicemail, call 646-480-0342. And also submit mailbag questions throughout the playoffs at bronxpinstripes.com/podcast. If it's a topic that we need to be discussing, or if you have a take that you want, that you think is important to get out, we might start just throwing in mailbags, because these episodes really don't have any structure to them.
We're going rogue.
We're just winging it. So everyone, enjoy game one of the ALDS, and we'll talk to you Friday morning.
Let's go!
Believe it or not, George isn't at home. Please leave a message at the beep.
I must be out, or I pick up the phone.
Where could I be? Believe it or not, I'm not home.
Hey guys, it's Natalie. I'm calling from Bridgeport, Connecticut, like an hour and a half outside the Bronx, telling me not to be in the Bronx right now. It's day of wild card game, and I'm so stressed out. I've been in class all day, have to work all night, and it's probably good that I'm busy because of how anxious I am. The thing is, I feel like the Yanks are probably going to win, but I don't know. Sometimes this team, as good as they are, they come up short in really, difficult situations.
Yo, what's up, guys? This is Benny calling from Hershey, Pennsylvania. listened to your podcast for a couple of years, but noticed that you have features like this, so figured I'd call and leave my first, hopefully not last, voicemail about my beloved Yankees. Every time the season kicked off in April, it's 6 months of joy for me every single day, me and my dad. Can't believe October is finally here. The Yanks are back in business in the Bronx in October. It's fucking sick, man.
Hey, T-minus 2 hours to the wildcard game. Let's go, Bronx Bombers. Let's do this. If they win, hell yeah, party at my house. If they lose, I will be starting a support group, so give me a call.
Didi Gregorius is the most clutch player in Yankees history. I can't believe this man. 2-for-17 off Santana, and he comes through like that in the first inning. Biggest hit of Bird. I'm going crazy in the car listening to John and Susan. That's baseball. I can't believe it. I'm speechless. I can't wait. We got Casper coming up next. Let's see what happens, boys. Let's go.
Hey boys, it's Shannon and Sarah here, the hairless cats and birds, shirt girls. Anyways, during your game at least, we were waiting for Didi to hit the home run. He never did it, but he just hit the 3-run home run. He's saving our butts because Steffi was a little iffy, and we're in the game. I have no words. Everything lined up, this dude has been throwing balls to the worst human being in the universe, Chris Carter. I'm speechless right now, so pardon me. And he had to replace Jeter. He's doing the tweets. He has everything right to us. I don't know why this guy is our MVP. Judge, I love you, but Didi deserves all of the credit. Even a Rockies fan will admit it. He's the true superstar of the 2017 Yankees. Everything he does is perfect, and there's nobody having more fun than Didi. You wanted your rant? Here it is. We love the guy. We're back in this wild card. Thank you, God, because that was a terrifying top of the first. Did Santa tell you what happened or what? Go, Didi!
Why the fuck is Ellsbury in this damn lineup? You got Headley ready to hit. Switch hitter. Put him in there. I don't know why he went in there to begin with. Fucking Girardi's driving me crazy. Popping out with the bases loaded when we could have blown this wide open. And then Canely back on the mound. We'll see. Go Yanks.
Whoever the fuck was behind the plate for the wild card game needs to get fired.
Yo, what's up? This is Drew from Arizona, and all I gotta say is I fucking love this goddamn team. I mean, everything about it. I mean, Sevy kind of sucked in the beginning, but after that, it was fucking electric. I mean, homers, Sanchez getting hit in the dick, everything is fucking great. I can't fucking wait for Cleveland. God, World Series, here we come, baby. I mean, after the other rounds, of course. I love this team. Go Yankees.
What's up, guys? Roller coaster of the game right there. Feeling pretty pumped right now. Just got to say, for all the shit that we normally give Joe Girardi, I just got to give this guy some credit. He just nabs an incredible game. Great job with the bullpen. I just think he needs to get the credit he deserves for that game. Big game coming up Thursday. Let's go, Yanks.
So the last night. Reason that's every now, not just today, but also for his future experience. Matt loves to deep returning around and scoring. My longtime favorite, Brett Gardner, of course, Aaron Judge, and don't understand though, am I missing something? Why wasn't Chase Headley part of the lineup? Ellsbury was like barely part of the Yankees making it here, but super excited, woohoo, go Yanks!
Hey guys, Greg from New York. Looks like the Yanks are going to a playoff series, man. Finally. Playoff series for the fucking Yankees. I am so pumped, man. What a win last night. And do the Yankees have a way of churning out clutch fucking shortstops? Bring it on, Indians, man. You guys got everything else here. Go Yanks.
taken Cybers as their concerned use. I've given Girardi a lot of shit over the years online and the various people who listen to me rant about him, but I will give credit where credit is due. So sticking to the binder, I got him on the kitchen inning because that's what the script is. He actually went with the hot hands and kept Teamly in there and didn't pitch the chances if he didn't have to. And thumbs up, Joe. Just you have to pitch the chances sometimes, so hopefully it's with a lot of runs, please. Bye.
The Yankees sweep the Twins, and we're going back to the ALDS first time since 2012 when I was only 10. And we're going to beat the Indians, probably lose to them in 4. But Seve was terrible last night, but Robinson, Green, Chapman, everyone was great. Judge hit a bomb, Didi hit a bomb, Cardi goes yardy, and the Yankees win. Can't wait. Sweep the Indians. Andrew Miller. Judge gonna hit a bomb off him too.
Yankee fan from Tennessee right here. I went from the highest of highs to the lowest of lows, all in a matter of one inning. It's gonna be a great ALDS. I'll take on the Indians.
Hi, this is Miles in North Dakota. I'm sure you guys got listeners everywhere. Last night I was watching the game in Twins territory. I was the loudest guy in the bar in Bismarck. It was such an impressive game. One thing that I was thinking about was Girardi not leaving in an effective Severino, you know, to try to work through it, but he probably got trouble and he went right to the big guns of Chad Green and David Robertson. And this game was exactly why Cashman made those trades at the deadline. I've been critical of Brian Cashman in the past, but this was his second straight impressive deadline. You know, Didi is the man. He is clutch. You know, I've read articles saying Judge isn't clutch, but I mean, you know, he had a big homer. I think he had 4 big hits in the last games of the season. People were saying that pressure's all on the Yankees. The Twins are playing with house money. That's just false. Every team is pressured to win, but the Twins are not even in the Yankees league. All the pressure was on them. Now, the Yankees probably have more pressure with Kluber and Carrasco coming up in this series, but you know, I've got confidence in the Yankees. I have confidence in Severino to bounce back. I look forward to seeing him. And, go Yankees.
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.